10 can be found on page 1139 of the Bibles in the pews. Romans chapter 10. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they sent to preach? How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. This is the word of the Lord.
Buddy. We're looking at Romans chapter 10 today, what's just been read to us. Thank you very much, Heather. And in chapter 9, which we looked at a few weeks ago, Paul explained that many Jews turn away from God because they are unable to come to terms with Jesus. And I suggested that that's not just true about Jews, but it's also true about many people with a Christian background, Christian family, who also turn away from God. And for Paul, this was not just an intellectual puzzle. It caused him, as it says at the beginning of chapter 9, great sorrow and unceasing anguish in his heart. So what can be done about this? Is there any hope for those who have turned away from God? The fact is, people need to come to God. They need to be saved. And it may seem impossible to us in some cases. Maybe even in some of those we know the best, our family perhaps, friends, neighbours, colleagues. We think they would never come to God. So wouldn't it be best just to give up on them? No way. Look at verse 1 of this chapter. My heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Paul really cared about them. And that led to his praying for them that they may be saved. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you? But don't rush past it too easily. Do we really care about people? Even those who are closest to us. And does that lead us to pray for them? And how do we pray for them? Do we only pray about the needs they are conscious of? Paul cared about the Jews, people who had no time for Jesus, which really meant they had no time for God. He prayed for them that they might be saved. But how could they be saved? How can anyone come to know God? Looking at the first 4 verses of this chapter, the truth is that many people, then and now, many people, certainly not everybody, but many people think of themselves as being religious. They believe there's a God. They think of themselves as being on God's side. They want to know more about him. They may even say they want to be Christians. And Paul's words about the Jews might well apply to them. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Their longing, their zeal, is ultimately useless, because it's not according to knowledge. They don't know how they could come to know God. They think they can decide how and when to come to God. They don't understand that it's up to God how people can come to him. People, and that includes some of us, who believe what Paul said earlier in this letter, that none is righteous. We believe that, but we still try to earn God's approval by impressing him with our own righteousness. The truth is, the only way to reach God is through Jesus Christ. Now, we know that in theory, but it goes against our preconceived notions. We're reluctant to accept it. And many people are unable to accept this. It's the one thing they're most reluctant to do, abandon their hopes of earning God's favour and just trusting in Christ alone. So how then can anyone be saved? Verses 5 to 13. Well, it's not by obeying the law. not, verse 5, by living according to the commandments. It's not by being good citizens, good friends, good relations, good colleagues. It's simply by calling on the Lord Jesus. Simply. That may seem very difficult. Jesus seems to many people a very distant figure, far away, out of reach, in heaven or in the land of the dead, metaphorically the abyss. No, says Paul, Christ, Jesus Christ, is not far away, not out of reach. All we have to do is to call on him, acknowledge him as Lord, and trust that he's been raised from the dead. And the wonderful thing is, verses 11 to 13, the wonderful thing is that this is true for all. We can all call on Jesus. Whether we're Jews, whether we're Gentiles, whether we've got any Christian background, whether we haven't, whether we're religious, whether we're not religious, this is true for us. We can call on Jesus. But that's what we're reluctant to do. We need prompting. But what could prompt anyone to call on Jesus? Now, two things necessary. One, they need to hear the gospel. And two, they must believe it. They need to hear the gospel. Verse 14, how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? They need to hear the gospel. The gospel must be preached. End of that verse. How are they to hear without someone preaching? Preaching? Why preached? Aren't there any other ways of proclaiming the gospel? Yes, there are. Supremely in our time, through the written word. And many of us trust books more than preachers. But in Paul's time, communication through the spoken word had much greater authority than through the written word. In our society, our time, it can be acceptable, even advantageous, to communicate through the written word, through pictures, or through the internet. But that was not the case then. Someone had to proclaim, herald the gospel. But this person was not to speak on his own authority. Why should he be believed? In our time we hear and read a great deal, and often we don't know what to believe. It's true, isn't it? In Paul's time, the person who preached had to have authority. He had to be someone who was sent, verse 15. If you look afterwards in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23, it talks about messengers of the churches, people sent ultimately by God and through the church. Now, the church of Paul's time and the church of our time are responsible to send, to commission messengers to proclaim the gospel. And these messengers are, in their turn, responsible to pass on God's truth. People need to hear the gospel. And they must also, verse 16, believe the gospel and obey it. Believe and obey what they hear. However faithful preachers are, people often don't believe and obey their message. Why? Paul suggests three possible reasons. One, could it be that they haven't heard? Well, maybe they haven't as individuals. What verse 18 indicates is that there are no languages, no peoples where God doesn't commission people to preach, to proclaim his gospel. It doesn't mean that there are no individuals who haven't heard the gospel. There were individuals then, there are individuals now who haven't heard the gospel, and they must hear. Could it be like Israel, that they didn't understand? Verse 19, I asked, did Israel not understand? Well, that's possible. Must preach, proclaim the gospel clearly. But perhaps it's rather that they don't respond, they don't obey the gospel because they are obstinate. And that in the words of the last chapter, chapter 9, God desires to show his wrath and make known his power. And he does this first by making them jealous and angry, as in verse 19, but then by revealing himself to them, verse 20. I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. Those who we think are far from God and will never come to him, many of those can come if and when God reveals himself to them. That should give us great hope. But, verse 21, this chapter ends sadly, in a minor key, so to speak. Of Israel, God says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Many of God's people remain disobedient and contrary. many of the Jews and many of those to whom we feel closest. So has God rejected his people? Well, we'll see that in the next chapter, chapter 11.